1212. Yeah.
Yeah, what's up, y'all?
Yeah, we want to welcome y'all once again to yet another installment of The Common Denominator on www.holycultureradio.com. My name is Shy Lin, and I'm going to be one of your hosts along with my man DJ Essence. What's good, Esso?
Yeah, I'm chilling, man. Feeling good.
Yeah.
We up in the prime of winter right now, and it's cold outside, but...
Man, is it?
Yeah. But it's cool, man. Like, I enjoy the winter. So, just for the record right now, it's what? December 8th? December 9th?
It's December 9th.
December 9th, recording this joint.
Yeah.
Just so you know, in terms of the issues we're talking about.
Yeah, and it's been a while since our last show. The last show that we did was with Clay Films, and that aired back in, was that August or September?
I think it aired in September.
It aired in September, yeah. And so, you know, we've been through our own little transition since then, but it's banging to be back with a new show. And we have a new guest host today. The only... Jafia Life.
Fire.
What's good, baby? Man. How you feeling, man?
Chilling, man. Just taking it easy. Just on the grind, man. Just trying to, you know, just get everything straight, organized for what's about to happen with the at the top of the year.
Yeah.
The album.
Yeah. Big things going on in 2006, man. It's banging to have you here. You know what I'm saying? Today, we're going to speak on the issue of holy hip hop. In the streets.
Good, that's what's up.
Holy hip hop in the streets. And I know Jafia, you have a heart for the streets.
Absolutely.
I know you have a lot to say on this topic, so I'm excited, man. Just looking forward to really getting it in with you.
Me too, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Essence, how you feeling, man?
Yeah, I'm feeling good, bro. We're about to jump into the news.
Yeah. So we're gonna take a break first before we come back with the news, right?
Yeah.
Alright, so keep it locked, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Yo, Fanatic, you need to do something for this wide hip hop sampler.
Alright,
now keep in mind, just a sampler.
Cool.
This life is so emotional. Ups and downs, highs and lows, like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Tall side to side, like the tide in the ocean. I'm praying God will guide me by your Holy Ghost.
Before I'm ghost, I saw the hope that the Lord of hosts will be more than close. And before my death, let the Lord attest.
My faith is so suspect. I say I trust yet without knowing what's next.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to move me. It's like I'm paralyzed. I need faith to see through a new pair of eyes.
That's why
the scripture's so delicious, dude. To my soul, there's no other nutritious food. I need to leap on it and feast on it in a vicious mood, and not creep on it and sleep on it like it isn't true.
Now why would I do that? Don't I want to choose that? My mind are confused that. That's God's heart if you lack it. Wisdom to ask him. He gives to the lacking. And hits them with them back. And fix them and ask them.
This is true, see, cause it's truly a bit of beauty.
Think not.
And you see, cause it's juicy like a movie.
With a sick plot.
And usually it's beautiful. It's not a movie.
So I've heard.
But it's all he uses does to do that.
That's God's word.
Whoa. You know, slow down a little bit. Just a sampler, okay? Just keep in mind the sampler.
All right. It's just... This walk is so incredible. Once you embark, your heart won't want to let it go. You start to part with the old you, then shed it low. Then there's a brand new you from head to toe.
The mirror won't show this, so here's how you know it. You care when God's spirit is sharing with those in his care, and you don't miss a chance to come home with that prayer. It's got so rich, this church fell out so rich.
This track is so inspiring, but it fails in comparison. What could be higher than
who?
The subject of my rap, the great I am. You thought it was me?
Please.
You need to try again.
Well, my man, I'm like you, I'm blessed to be alive, fam. You and I need to fix our eyes, step to the sky, and recognize that even though his size is endless, and he's wise, and he still buys our friendship.
How's that? Look at the cause. The cause was so bloody, yet it was an awesome offering. Look at the love we get.
While chicks are hugging the block and cats are thugging up in it, I'm bugging it how God ain't flaming up the oven yet. I'm in Sodom and I get crossed the border. Took them over to get more of the hoarders, which only breeds border. Like Dora, they're explorers looking for what's going to cure them, but won't fight past the Lord who pleaded for them.
He can save them if he only gave them a chance to
come in.
He can raise them, they'll praise him till he gets canceled.
This is
amazing how when he saves them, they'll get cheerful.
God's
free. What I'm saying is,
wait. This is just a sample!
Okay.
Yeah. Back at it. Common Denominator on holyculturradio.com.
Yeah.
We got Shylin, my boy Jafai Life.
Yeah.
We're going to jump into the news right now. Things we're going to focus on for the most part today, there was a lot of things going on that kind of just give a temperature of what's going on in the church. Similarly, like, things that are going on in society that the church seems to be acclimating towards. So, actually, something that happened in Germany, I got this from the BBC News, I'm going to read it. It says, a German Protestant youth group put together a 2006 calendar illustrated with erotic scenes from the Bible. Mm. Now, it says it's 12 reenacted passages. One of them features a bare-breasted Delilah cutting Samson's hair, and another one is a nude Eve offering an apple. It goes on to say the Nuremberg-based group said they wanted to represent the Bible in a way that would entice young people. The pastor said, it's just wonderful when teenagers commit themselves with their hair and their skin to the Bible. Going on, he says, there's a whole range of biblical scriptures simply bursting with eroticism. This is that's actually from the guy who took the photographs. And there's some other ones where it shows a woman wearing garters and stockings. She's posed on a doorstep as the prostitute Rahab. So it's just, again, like, that's just seeing a way of trying to reach the youth or the culture and having to compromise in that.
That's crazy, man.
Can you imagine, yo?
Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
Like, where do you draw the lines at?
Right.
I think I'm confused, yo.
Yeah.
They took pictures?
This is a illustrated calendar. So think Sports Illustrated,
swimsuit calendar. Okay.
This is a biblical calendar. Erotic calendar.
Wow. Okay.
A biblical calendar.
Okay.
And what they're trying to do is entice young people by showing, hey, look, the Bible has these things that you can relate to. You know, society may offer you, you know, the maxim, but the Bible has all that in it too. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. Right.
So it's trying to make it look attractive and appealing.
It's kind of like, sort of like, I was talking to somebody the other day. I was saying how we was talking about how people and a lot of churches, man, they don't want to give like Christ alone. They gotta dress him up,
yeah,
like to make him appealing, yeah, to the world. It's like, like, it's sort of like when we do that, it's like we take away from the beauty of the word and the beauty of Christ. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you ever heard somebody say, like, yo, what? Tell her, as a female, yo, why you wear makeup? You beautiful without makeup.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it takes away from your beauty, right, when you put makeup on.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like you got natural beauty. You don't even need makeup, sis. And it's like, that's how Jesus is and Christianity is, away from what we try to dress it up with to pull the youth in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think it's also, it's kind of backwards to try to use something that entices the sinful nature in order to draw people to a holy God.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bugged up.
But this is a Protestant youth group doing this, you know what I mean? Like, which is, like, where are they at? You know?
Yeah.
And where are they getting the kind of the okay to go ahead and do this?
Mm. Like, who gave them the thumbs up?
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. But let me ask you this, though, because in the same vein, you know, I think about, you know, this show is about holy hip-hop in the streets, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, to me, I see it as kind of similar as somebody who would curse, you know what I'm saying, say all kinds of stuff in their lyrics, and their point behind it would be like, look, I'm speaking the language of the streets, you know what I'm saying? So, where do you draw the line? And I would ask for you, you know what I'm saying? Because I know that you're very much concerned about reaching out the street.
Right.
So how did you do that, and where would you draw the line?
Right. Now, you mean somebody that's a gospel artist?
Right.
That's cursing and their stuff?
Right.
Wow, I never even heard that before.
What?
Yeah, I didn't even know it was artists that did that. You mean like using like the N-word?
Using the N-word.
You mean pass the N-word? Like even beyond the N-word?
Even beyond, yeah.
Wow, that would be like, for me to hear that would be like new to me.
Okay.
Hearing that. But as far as me, I think I speak for my whole crew where when I say that we don't represent that type of Christian hip hop.
Okay.
Now that I know that it exists.
Yeah.
Like I never even knew that existed. Like I know people who say use the N word.
Right.
I hear that a lot now.
Right.
Like, but like just me and my crew, like we opposed to that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like just using the N word. We feel like it's, first of all,
you opposed to using the N word.
N word, and as far as like as a Christian artist, in my approach in the booth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To like, some people say, well, man, this is how I talk, like, outside of the booth.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you gotta, like, when the N-word is like something that in a culture, like in a black culture where it's like we use loosely, just to be like, it's like, that's my homie.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, but when you approaching, you know what I'm saying, music and ministry, it's like, I don't think it's wise.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't really think it's wise to do that. It's just from a standpoint of just reaching people. If you wanna, you know what I'm saying, get yourself out there. Mm. That's not. I think you might be hurting yourself more than you are helping yourself by trying to relate to the people and bring them into your world by using that N-word.
Mm.
So. That's my take on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, another one. I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise. Like another PCUSA, Presbyterian Church USA, has okayed a homosexual ordination for a pastor. This is actually in Dobbs Ferry, New York.
Okay.
And they refused to abide by the denomination's ban on practicing homosexuals in the ministry. So we just kind of see this renegade people, even within the church, saying, well, it's been done this way, and this is what you're telling me, and I'm like, I'm not going to follow it, you know what I mean? So
right.
Just even keeping breaking away further, you know, and this is more and more with the, there was a big case in Philly with the woman, the lesbian Methodist preacher.
Right.
And it actually went up. Did it go to the Supreme Court?
Not yet.
Not yet, but it's headed that way.
Right.
And, you know, national news story. And it's popping up everywhere.
Hmm.
And this goes to another thing. Actually, South Africa has now become the fifth country to permit same-sex marriage. And they're the first one in Africa where homosexuality remains largely taboo.
Hmm.
So we just kind of see the church and the culture with it kind of moving towards this.
Hmm.
And it's just like, it's really scary, man, that not only are they doing it out there, but now it's kind of permeating inside the walls of the church.
Right.
That's bugged out too, man. It's,
yeah, it's the times we're living in. Man.
Yeah.
It's the times we're living in. It's an unholy age.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? A lot of it really doesn't surprise me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, man.
I mean, the reality, only thing that really scares me is the reality of it being, it being upon us now.
Mm.
Like, it's here now. You know what I'm saying? But the actual, like, you know what I'm saying? It being, it, what it is, like, that be going down, it don't surprise me that it's going down, but it's just scary that it's, like, here now.
Yeah.
Like,
y'all think it makes it harder for us now as people that hold the orthodoxy and are trying to, you know, trying to reach people and trying to give a picture of what the church looks like?
I think it, you know, it's, It makes it harder, you know, to penetrate through all of these layers of, you know what I'm saying, like things is just like continually just like added upon people, just like giving them more of a reason not to come to Christ and not to embrace true Christianity. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but I mean, you know, that's the mission field.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's definitely a rough terrain, so.
Yeah, and what y'all saying reminds me of this passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3 where we get basically a prediction of the things that we're seeing. 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 1, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
Right.
Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power.
Right.
You
right.
know what I'm saying? And that's what we see, you know, even amongst those who, you know, they would say that they're Christians, you know, from within the church, have this appearance of godliness,
right.
but, you know, denying the power of holiness and the power of God's word, you know,
absolutely,
and his standards on what he says things should be, you know, so.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, the whole idea of a gay marriage, you know what I'm saying,
right.
it's just like, you know, marriage has always been defined as, you know, between one man and one woman,
right. Right.
you know. And you know, it's not that we, you know, we don't come out to bash gay people or homosexuals. You know, that's a sin. But we're all sinners. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, we know that God's standard is
right.
is one of holiness, and
right.
so we, you know, we persuade men knowing the fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, fear of Christ. You know. And so it's just sad, it's grieving, but like Jay said, it's not really surprising, you know, that
right.
we're seeing some of these things.
Yeah, and I mean it's not like it's worse than anything else that goes on. It's just that for some reason there's a kind of like something that it's packaged with. It's like we don't want to say that you can't do that anymore, like that it's not right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right, right.
You know, some things in the church is cool to say, oh well, that's wrong. But with this, for some, you know, it's now it's to the point where, okay, let them do that, you know, and that's what's scary.
Yeah.
We got Shaq up in the news. Y'all see that?
Shaq?
Nah, we're
Shaq.
Nah,
what's
the Kill O'Neal. Some good stuff right here.
Oh yeah.
He just got sworn in to the be an officer in Miami. He's on the police force.
What?
Yeah, y'all.
Shaq is a cop?
And believe it or not, he was a reserve officer in L.A. before he moved to Miami.
Wow.
So he has experience, and supposedly it's not just like for photo opportunities, but he's actually going to be on call carrying a gun.
Are you serious,
yo,
man?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's not like he's going to be on the front lines. He's more like, you know,
so he's
a reserve officer.
Oh, I was about to say.
He's, but I mean, it ain't fake or not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Word.
Because I'm going to, I'm doing this show in Miami next week, and I was going to say, you mean to tell me I'm going to see Shaq posted up, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, with a gat and a nightstick, like, yo, you can't jaywalk. You can't be jaywalking, man. Like, yo, come on, Shaq.
Shaq, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, man, I just seen this. Richard Pryor passed away.
Oh, he did?
Today, yeah.
Got it.
Wow. This was even before. Yeah, I had all my information.
Oh, okay.
Died at the age of 65.
Wow.
He was pretty, like, sick, though, wasn't he?
I don't know what he had. But
yeah,
I know he
yeah.
had his health got really bad.
Yeah, I don't know if it was multiple sclerosis
okay.
or...
Yeah, I'm
or
not
what.
Sure,
he, it was some kind of degenerative disease that as a result of... I guess he had many years of
his lifestyle.
Yeah. Smoking, cocaine, freebasing or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. Says he actually died of a heart attack.
Really? Yeah.
The main thing that's been kind of in our country is the air marshal shooting. Y'all hear about it in Miami?
Really?
Y'all hear about the air marshal shooting?
Nah, what happened?
Today is Saturday. This happened around the beginning of the week. A guy, a Colombian man, 44 years old, was on a plane from Colombia with his wife.
What? Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, and it landed in Miami. And is it? It was like people were leaving the plane or whatever. He starts to run, flailing his arms, saying he has a bomb, he has a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So there was actually, I think, air marshals on the plane.
Right.
They ordered him to stop. He didn't stop. And... either they got to him or something and was telling him, you know, to stop, whatever. He reached into his backpack, so they shot him.
Right.
Killed him. Like, right on the taxi.
Okay.
Between the airport
just
terminal.
Just after the plane landed?
And the plane, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I guess the controversy is the fact that he had mental illness, possible bipolar issues.
Right.
So, you know, there's been a lot of just outcry as far as was this the right way to handle the situation or not.
I mean, how else can you handle it? You know what I'm saying? Like, what? How are they to know that he had a mental problem?
Yeah.
They doing their job. They trying to protect everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, I mean, at that point, like, you just got to do what you're trained to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's why they're on there.
That's what you're there for. Protect everybody else.
Yeah, like, you don't know if a person is mentally unstable or not. And
he reaching in his bag.
Yeah.
You know.
And, I mean, maybe they do need to rethink the way they deal with it, but, like, you don't want a person, you don't want a person second-guessing, you know, what they're supposed to do, especially when you got 200-plus people in danger, you know?
Yeah, what if he had it, he reached in his bag and hit a switch?
Yeah.
Right, right.
And the whole cabin just went up.
Yeah. And especially we live in a post-9/11 society, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's the kind of situation that... You know, if any time we could look at something and say it's justified, it's like, okay, he's saying he has a bomb.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Not only that, he reaches into it. You know what I mean? It's just like, what else are they going to do?
It's like, and I think they were saying that he didn't take his medication.
I don't know.
It's like, that's
not something your responsibility.
Like, you can't force feed somebody medication. He knows that he got to take his medication.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. That, I mean, it's tragic, but I mean, what's the I don't understand. What's the controversy about?
Well, the controversy is just a lot of people upset that it would happen, and that they, you know, this was the kind of the route they had to take. You know, like, why couldn't they have done something else?
So they felt like it was an overreaction to
a lot of people.
I don't see how, but you know, maybe I need to hear more in depth.
Seems like right now a lot of people just. You know, they like to complain,
I mean, they complain about stuff like that, but the stuff we talking about that's going on, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, homosexuality creeping into the church, they cool with that. But they want to complain about something like this. It's like, you know, it's bugged out.
Oh, another thing, I don't have the info on, but I don't know if y'all heard about something to pray about, anyone that does know about it or has heard about it. This guy in Kentucky, he's actually a policeman. His two sons died about 15 minutes apart in two separate car crashes. He went, like, around 1 in the morning, he went to a car crash scene. And comes to find out, I think he has, like, a 21 and an 18-year-old son. It's one of them dead in a car wreck. And then, like, 15 minutes later, he gets another call, and it's, like, it's another son 5 miles away.
Wow.
And both dead.
Like, when did this happen?
This happened the beginning of the week. So man, like that's just the kind of thing you can see from man's perspective can just give a guy like a hardened heart towards God. You know what I mean? Like you just naturally want to think that, like, why would you let this happen? You know? And if you do exist, like, you know, kind of forget you. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's interesting, man, because that sounds really similar to what happened to Job. You know what I mean? It's
like, it was like back to back.
And it's interesting, you know, to see Job's reaction, and just, I mean, it took supernatural strength. You know what I'm saying? For Job to say, you know what, the Lord gives and He takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Man, I pray that this, you know, this incident would. Would draw this person closer to God as opposed to away from Him.
Right.
You know why?
Right.
So that's the news.
That's the news. Man.
Heavy, right?
Yeah, that is
a
heavy.
Lot of things, man.
But I think really, man, it just reinforces the need for us as the church to continue to spread the good news, man. You know, you just look. It's so much tragedy, man. So many things. It can be easy to lose hope. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, praise God that He's given us the hope of a crucified and risen Savior, man. You know what I'm saying? That's what we've given our lives to proclaim it. You know what I'm saying? Because apart from Christ, man, this thing is going down in flames for real, literally. You know,
fast.
Yeah. So, Word, thanks for the news, Esso. Yo, y'all keep it locking. We'll be right back with the top 10, all right?
Hey, hip hop. Started out in the park, in the hood where the streetlights smother the dark. Came an inner city genre to world phenomenon, labeled as a fad, branded too wild. It wouldn't last. They had two turntables with a microphone, with the style of dance that could break all bones. In the way with words previously unknown, came the MC and DJ right to your home. I was smitten. I got my first Fat Boys record and Mr. Magic's Drop Attack, and now I was flipping. I wore them out as well as Curtis Blows. He saw the breaks of Roxanne versus TFO. Back then it was a battle. If you couldn't beat the person in front of you, you was a sucker MC. Either you could make up rhymes right on the spot, or your hand was over your mouth and you were beatbox. This was hip hop, and I was all up in it. I knew every group, every song, and all their gimmicks. Through the 80s came the infamous rap game, but the music was uncharted and was destined to change. Now all rap is the lust of the flesh that is easily seen through drugs and sex. And all rap is the lust of the eyes. Almost any video can help you realize that all rap is the most in of what he has and does. From how we live to MTV Cribs, I ain't hating, but to me rap's the glorification of what led Christ to propitiation. Now for some reason rap moved in a new season, from partying and battling to pro-black and violence in its ranks. So self-destruction was made, followed by the West Side. We all in the same gang, so it was creeping. Shortly after Check the Rhyme came a new style of rap that said respect the crime. It was militant, it seemed like they lost innocence. The Fresh Prince rap had faded out of print. I observed from a distance, but noticed the effect when it went from sucking MC to nigga dialect. It was almost like rapping angrily. Having MC was no longer thorough and lost credibility. Now instead of saying a dude had weak rhymes, it was saying to the same dude, I blast you with knives. So rap music was split, and some hated this while others said it's simply a sign of the times. Rap's come a long way from jam moaning and only bugging to cash rules. Can I live and we thugging? Now it's all metaphors for murder, and it's a rare occasion you hear something you never heard of. All rap is the lust of the flesh that is easily seen through drugs and sex. And all rap is the lust of the eyes. Almost any video can help you realize that all rap is the boasting of what he has and does. From how we live to MTV Cribs, I ain't hating, but to me rap's the glorification of what led Christ to propitiation. 1, 2 3 and 2 to 4. Hip hop is now no fun no more. It was evident the first time Pac got shot. Trouble T. Roy won't be the only death in hip hop. Back then, it might as well have spoke prophecy. Cause to this day, they still Pac big. R.I.P. Ironically, rap has the IED and will accept nothing less than a straight OG. Except for Eminem. He came through at the right time and made it cool to hate your moms and your wife and rhymes. He gave white people something to relate to. They couldn't claim the streets and thus and broke through, as well as others I didn't name. It's crazy, but rapping favored the block way before Jay-Z. But lately, I don't know if you noticed, but to me, rappers low-key saying Jesus saves me. I give it to Kanye, Jesus walks, but Kanye is much more than Jesus walks. It's Jesus saves, and we pray cause Jesus talks, and through the lives of a few, he'll redeem hip-hop. Cause all rap is the lust of the flesh that is easily seen through drugs and sex. And all rap is the lust of the eyes. Almost any video can help you realize that all rap is the boasting of what he has and does. From how we live to MTV Cribs, I ain't hating, but to me rap's the glorification of what led Christ to propitiation. All rap is, all rap is, all rap is.
All right, welcome back to The Common Denominator on www.holycultureradio.com. I'm Shy Lin with my man DJ Essence and special guest host Jafari Life. Life. Yeah.
What's good? What's good?
All right. How you feeling, man? You all right, Jay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Word, man. It's banging. It's good to have you here, man.
It's good to be here.
About to go see that good Chronicles of Narnia
yeah,
joint.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely going to check that out, see what it's about, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So you peeped it already,
I saw
right?
it last night,
It just
night,
came
man.
Out yesterday, right?
Came out yesterday. We saw it. 2 sold-out theaters right
yeah.
there. Word. 9:50. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And ran into Timothy there with his wife and
Word.
Some
Tim
other
Brendan.
People. Yeah, Tim was there.
Flau.
Nate.
Flau.
Seen Gina Campbell there. So
oh, word?
It was like a church service.
Wow.
But,
wow.
No, it was good, man. I think, and especially I didn't have no expectation.
Right.
I mean, I knew C.S. Lewis.
Uh-huh.
I had read the book as a kid, but like I didn't remember any
yeah.
of it.
No, I never read it.
So I even questioned if I read it now because none uh-huh. of it None of it came back to me. But really just a great allegory of the gospel, man. And
oh, got you.
From what
got
I hear, you. Like, they really did it justice in terms of keeping with the story. And
same dude that I did Lord of the Rings, right?
The same producer.
Oh, right.
The only thing is, like, I'm sure or I suspect that a majority of people there had no idea that that's the gospel.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
But I think it'll be a good platform to just talk to people and you know, kind of just see what they thought of it.
It's getting a lot of press, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. It's huge.
A lot of press.
It's probably going to do really well, too.
Yeah, so go out and support.
I think it'll definitely come out, you know what I'm saying, that's what the story is about.
Well, I mean, it has by some critics already.
Right, okay.
You know, kind of like that's pushing, right. saying that, oh, they pushing it down your throat.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What's interesting, C.S. Lewis never wanted a movie done of it. Like,
okay.
He never wanted a television show. I guess he was pretty adamant about, you know, no kind of visual thing. But so I know I believe his son is kind of in charge of his stuff. So maybe now with the, you know, the good effects we have, he felt like it would be cool. But
and
I mean,
they said it's they pushing it down people's throat, the gospel.
Well, I mean, one critic was saying that this is like a Christian track almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
A Christian track.
Yeah, like some,
like to track your hand out.
Yeah, like just like you trying to witness. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But hey,
man, it's fucked up. But I mean, it'll be a movie pushing homosexuality down your throat.
But
it's not
good. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Nobody complains about Will and Grace. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
The homosexual agenda that's constantly. Nobody says anything about that.
All right, we got the top 10.
Yeah, we're about to get into the top 10. You know
top
what I mean?
10.
Where we basically go to Billboard and look at the top 10 hot rap tracks.
Right.
Gotta be hot.
You know what I mean? So it's basically what the culture is listening to, what we hear on the radio all the time. And what we want to do is we want to look at the top 10, grab one of the lyrics to the songs.
Okay.
Remove the lyrics from the context of the music and actually listen to what's actually being said.
Gotcha.
And so this is the top 10.
Okay.
Right. Now I'm gonna be honest, like a lot of these songs, because first of all, I'm gonna be straight up. I hate the radio.
Okay.
Like I feel like most of the stuff for me that comes on the radio, I'm not even talking about content. Content is one thing. A lot of it is just godless, but. Just for me, style-wise, even, like, it's hard for me to even really listen to a lot of the stuff that comes on the radio.
Got you.
Personally. So a lot of these songs, I'm not even right. familiar with. I'm familiar with the artists. But anyway,
I probably am. Sure.
Yeah, so let's see what's up with it.
Good.
All right, song number 10. Oh, let me also, before we...
Uh-huh.
Also, it's been a couple months since the last show, and so we got all new songs on the top 10 now.
Okay.
Before we did the show like a month apart, and it was the same song,
right.
but
right.
in
different
just in
order.
Different order.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, so these are all different songs. Song number 10, Sean Paul, We Be Burning.
I was asking where Sean Paul was, man.
Why go on my youth?
Why
you deal with? Yes, I am.
We Be Burning.
You know why I'm around, Maya. Why you deal with? You want flex?
We Be Burning. What kind of? I mean, I know Sean
dance
Paul
hall.
Stuff is kind of dancing.
Yeah, like Sean Paul, like with this song, it's kind of like he. It's like he's more so going into the mainstream, like reggae feel.
Okay.
A lot of people wasn't really feeling it until. Like maybe just a little while ago.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Actually, I always like Sean Paul because I love reggae.
Right.
Like dance, well, reggae, but Sean Paul's like with dancehall.
Right.
I love dancehall, so it's like I was always a Sean Paul fan, but this song I wasn't feeling initially until I maybe heard it again, and I didn't even know it was him. I just was like, I heard that before. Where did I hear that? That's hot. And then they was like Sean Paul. I was like, oh, okay, that's that Sean Paul joint.
Right.
Yeah,
We Be Burning.
Mm-hmm.
Song number 9 is 50, Window Shopper. That's off the off the Get Rich or Die Trying soundtrack.
Yeah.
Jay, you like 50?
Yeah, I like 50, man.
Word.
Yeah.
Why, what you like about 50?
I like 50's charisma, man. For one, I like that. I like the fact that, you know what I'm saying, he's not afraid to embrace mainstream. You know what I'm saying?
I think it helped them a lot. You know what I'm saying? Before 50 was kind of opposed to mainstream.
Right.
You know what I mean? When he came out with like the How to Rob, and I think that's why a lot of people bash him now, because he was so adamant about, you know what I'm saying, just not embracing like mainstream and people going pop.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what I'm saying, he had to, when he got, because he was an outsider looking in.
Right.
Then when he got signed with
Eminem
and Dre, he kind of had to like sit around it, yeah, and say, okay, well, you know, it's not as bad as I kind of thought.
Right.
But from a content perspective, I mean, I don't really like a lot of 50 stuff lyrically.
Right.
But I mean, as far as like, he's a marketing genius.
No doubt. To me. No doubt. You know, he, I mean, he definitely knows how to. I mean, the one thing we, in essence, we talked about this before when we heard his stuff on the way back from an event
Rochester.
That we were from Rochester.
Yeah.
Just how catchy his music is.
Hooks,
like his hooks are very
melodic and
melodic and catchy.
Right.
Now to me, like, if you detach it from the content, you know what I'm saying, I can say he's good at making catchy hooks, you know what I'm saying, but I think the bad thing about it is that because the content is so foul, that what that winds up doing is it stamps foul content, you know what I'm saying, into people's minds, which is not good. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. But from an artist's perspective, I respect it as an artist.
Word?
You know, yeah, I think.
Even lyrically?
Lyrically, I mean, I liked 50 lyrically before he signed with Eminem.
Word?
Yeah, but now the only song I really like lyrically with 50 is the first single off the soundtrack, Hustler's Ambition.
Uh-huh.
He was like, America got a thing for this. Like, he was more so talking about, he had some more substance and like direction the way he was going, as opposed to like a lot of his stuff now, like Window Shopper.
Right.
It's just like, you know, stuff that's just like lighthearted.
Right.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's obvious that from a marketing standpoint,
yeah,
like this cat has.
Yeah. He's very appealing. What I like about him, he can appeal to the masses. As just opposed to his peers,
right,
that's from the streets,
right,
and that's what I think sets him apart from a lot of other rappers. You know what I mean? Keeps was like, they'll just be local, and the streets will love them, but you got 50 where, you know what I'm saying, you go to France and you ask them who's their favorite rapper, they gonna say 50. You go to Sri Lanka. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they gonna
right.
say, who's your favorite rapper? 50 Cent.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
it's like you gotta respect this dude. It's like, I don't like all this stuff, but I think he chooses very good beats. I think what he chooses to put over those beats fits the beats very well. A lot of artists can't do what 50 can do. You know what I'm saying? And
Ask, what you think about 50?
You know, I can't give you an opinion right now, man. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I haven't listened to enough of his stuff to really form an opinion, you know. So I wouldn't want to just kind of throw a blanket statement out there.
Right.
I mean,
but you listen to
I definitely
it.
I mean, agree. Like, y'all, like, he makes catchy stuff. I like some of his stuff when it was first coming out, like In the Club. It just like grows on you.
You like In the Club? I didn't think you would like some like that.
Nah, I mean, I think it's a combination of the beat,
you know,
and just the beat grew on me.
Phil.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, he ain't moving me like that. Like,
right.
I would never buy an album.
Yeah, it's sort of like how Jay-Z said. He said, if truth told, what did he say? He said, I lyrically. He Talib Kweli.
Yeah, he's like
I want to rhyme
like
Common
Sense, but I sold 5 mil. I ain't been rapping like Common Sense.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, I think that Jay-Z is another example of being able to have a balance where you can be embraced by the masses, but don't take too far of a departure from yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Like
Fat Joe is a cat who is like, you know what I'm saying, like a blatant attempt. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To get to garner like mainstream appeal.
Right.
With like, I'm gonna get it popping. It's like, come on, man, it don't even feel right.
Right.
It's
right.
It feels forced.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, as Jay-Z, as opposed to Jay-Z, like he can do it, and we still respect him, even when he does a joint with Mariah Carey.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's very few artists that can bridge that gap comfortably. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Jay is crazy, though, man. Actually, he's one of the only cats that I can say has gotten better.
Right.
You know, like, you got people to come out with a banging album, like Nas or whatever. And it's like they just not, you're always comparing the new stuff to the old stuff. Like, Dag, it's good, but it's not that.
Not like the old stuff, right.
And, like, Jay-Z is one of the only cats I can say in the mainstream that's, that I can't do that with. You know what I mean? Like, I can't ever say, well, it's good, but it ain't Reasonable Doubt.
Right, right.
You know, like, I think everything has even gotten better. Since then.
Shot like that.
Nah, B.
Like, that's the beauty of it, man.
No doubt.
We can share and reason and you know, debate about, like, what.
I've never, I mean, from an artistic standpoint, you know what I mean, I can respect the skill. But for me, like, I can't, it's very difficult for me to divorce the content from the you know what I mean, from the package that is coming in. It's like,
you wrote lyrical based, like,
yeah.
I never even listened to lyrics before I met Shy.
Producers. You still don't. Producers, man. But that's a whole other topic. But look, let's keep it moving, man, because we could talk about this all day. Song number 8, it's Essence's man Nelly, featuring Paul Wall, Ali, and Get Grills.
Grills.
Midwest cats. Get, well, get Paul grills. Wall. Southern.
Get grills. Get grills. Let me see your grills. You wanna see my what? Yo, that song is so funny.
Like the bridge.
Wow. Oh man, I listen to everything.
Wow.
I listen to everything.
What you think about that song?
I mean, you know, if it's not one of my, you know, favorite songs, but if I was from where Nelly's from or Paul Wall, it probably would be.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I try to put myself in their shoes.
Right.
Like, from an East Coast perspective, it's like, I'm like, you know, flagging it.
Right.
But I'm like, damn, but when I step outside of the East Coast and say, what if I was raised in St. Louis? What if I was raised in Houston?
Right.
How would I feel about the song then?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then I could say, from that perspective, I probably would really like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I could never get with Nelly. Never.
Yeah.
Song number 7. D4L, Laffy Taffy.
Laffy Taffy. Laffy Taffy. Oh, Laffy Taffy. I listen to everything. I mean, it's hip hop, but you know, it's like they was even in the interview talking about, they was kind of like saying, people don't want to just say we hip hop, man. Like, why we can't just be original?
Where they from? Like,
they from like down south, I guess. Maybe down south Midwest. They can't be from East Coast.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, like, they, you know, it's, I mean, the girls love it.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
So it's like,
that's a recurring thing.
Yeah. Like, all the songs are pretty much geared towards women. Song number 6 is Twister. Twista featuring Trey Songz, Girl Tonight.
Girl Tonight.
Oh,
featuring who?
Trey Songz.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, we just going to have Jafai
give
his rendition
of
each joint.
I feel you. I mean, you know, I see, the thing is, like, you know, it's a song where it's like, you know, if I'm chilling with, you know, my wife or my shorty, whatever, it's like, I probably like this song. I'm chilling on, going on the way to the movies, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, I ain't mad at them dudes, man. They do what they do, man. I'll let them do what they do, man.
Right.
Everybody ain't gonna have a backpack on.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. I'm just gonna stay mad at him, though.
I feel you.
I'm mad.
I ain't mad at that.
I mean, I just feel like, I mean, just like you said with Fat Joe, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's all, in a lot of ways, just blatant attempts, you know what I'm saying? It's so obvious, you know, they're going for the female audience. They're going to always talk about the same subjects, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing, it's, to me, nothing really innovative going on with it, you know what I mean? I mean, I guess if that's your, I mean, that's what mainstream music is all about, you know what I'm saying? Just, it's pop music, so it's going to deal with popular subject matter and that kind of thing. And to me, it's just kind of boring.
I feel you.
From an artistic standpoint. Then song number 5 is Jewel Santana, There It Go.
There It Go.
Yeah. Yeah. Whistle song, There It Go.
Yeah. That's not like, I ain't feeling that. Good.
What?
Nah, yeah. I ain't feeling that. It's, I mean, I feel it as far as like I think it was genius.
Mm.
As far as like me and Swift was talking about that when we was over here last time. We was talking about how the song is just like genius as far as like, since that's the most ingenious song, since mainstream song, since the Whisper song.
Mm.
Since the Yin Yang joint.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, it was like after the Yin Yangs, everybody was like, man, what we gonna come up with that was more creative than a whispering on the song?
Right.
And you know, here comes Jules with the whistle. The whistle right. joint. You know right. what I mean? So,
but you're not feeling it though.
I mean, nah, I could do without it.
Yeah. Song number 4 is Trina, featuring Kelly Rowland of Destiny's Child.
Yeah, I know that one too.
So here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Good morning.
Oh, yeah.
Not this time.
I listen to everything.
Yeah. I can't even speak on it because I never even heard the joint.
Yeah, she just talking about, you know, a dude doing her wrong. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And she gonna get somebody to move on him. Mm. What she say? She said, you ain't even worth letting Trick get at you. Matter of fact, Trick, get at dude.
Right.
Like, man, Trick ain't thinking about that.
Right. It's interesting because Trina, it's actually the only song on here by a female in the top 10.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know nothing about Trina.
Good.
She used to be with Cash Money.
Nah. She Trick Daddy put on.
Okay.
Oh, that's Trina.
You know that?
Yeah.
Do them like this.
Nasty Trina.
She's from the South, right? Yeah.
Yeah, she from Miami.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. I'm not about to say.
Leave it alone.
Yeah. Song number 3 is 3-6 Mafia, featuring Young Buck and 8-Ball and MJG.
Oh yeah.
Stay
yeah.
Fly.
Yeah. I like that track.
What?
That beat is crazy.
Yeah. What you think, guys?
You know, I heard it. That sound like a collab off from like the late 90s or something.
Oh man, y'all gotta listen to them songs y'all reviewing, man.
I just ain't a review. It's not a review as much as just a look.
Just a look at them.
Yeah, just a picture of this week. Okay.
Yeah, what the culture
is
listening to.
Rap.
Yeah. Song number 2, and this is actually the song that we're gonna have that we're gonna peep the lyrics to,
okay.
is Young Jeezy featuring Akon, Soul Survivor.
Okay. Jeezy's hurting it, I hear.
Oh, he's killing it.
Yeah.
Cats is loving Young Jeezy.
Ain't
hurting. Yeah, Jeezy is a problem.
Yeah, we're gonna look at the lyrics to that song.
Okay.
And then song number 1.
Drum roll.
Them Franchise Boys, featuring Jermaine Dupri, Da Brat, and Bow Wow. I think they like me. I think they like me.
They like me. I think they like me.
I heard about that.
What you think, Jafari?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I like it, but then it's like it's not a song that I'm gonna be playing like, you know what I'm saying, in the house when I wake up, you know what I'm saying, to get dressed. But as far as like the song, I mean, it's catchy, you know what I'm saying. Initially I was like, nah, I ain't feeling it, cause I was like, the South is just starting to get away with putting anything out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, it does what it does.
So you listen to the radio a lot, or you buy mixtapes?
I don't really listen to the radio. Like, I see like videos.
Okay, you know, watch videos.
Yeah, like I see it probably before I hear it.
Okay.
Most of the stuff I see it, you know what I'm saying, a video, I'm like, who's that? And then I hear it on the radio like that couple of days after I see it.
Mm.
So I'm like,
Now what would you say to someone who's listening to this and would say, man, Jafari, you a Christian.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How you gonna be listening to secular music and watching videos and stuff like that? Like, what's up with that?
I mean, I challenge them, saying like, you know, don't go see Bad Boys 2 either then. Like, it's like, if you gonna challenge me as far as me listening to music, the secular, then I challenge you not to go to no rated R movies.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Don't, you know what I'm saying? You might as well not even watch TV no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just pull the plug out of the TV.
Right.
Because they saying the B word. They saying all kind of stuff on Law and Order.
Right.
Your favorite TV show. So it's like, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, I think it's even worse going to the movies and watching it, because then your visual is being like you seeing it, as opposed to just listening to hip hop. You seeing it, you getting enticed, you know what I'm saying, by the movie, you know what I'm saying, you hearing it, it's making you want to go out and do all kind of stuff, like I mean, but as far as like just being someone that's a Christian and listening to music like that, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's to each his own. You know what I'm saying? I think if we don't have a problem with people going out watching rated R movies, then if we preaching about, we need to preach about those movies as well. If we gonna preach anti secular hip hop, let's preach anti secular movies.
Right.
Just don't watch nothing but Charles Stanley.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's my challenge to them.
What you think, guys?
Well, I want to ask a question, not to get into the interview section, but how does this, or how does these songs influence Jafai life? Like, is it important that you stay up on the current songs, that you kind of plugged in to what's going on and to what's impacting the people that you're trying to reach? Or could you still do the same thing and make the same music if you was to turn everything off?
Yeah, I could do the same music, I think, if I turn everything off. But being as though I want to stay plugged into the culture, what's going on, the culture today. Some people try to, like I said, like a lot of the hip-hop purists, they try to tune out the hip-hop culture of today. You know what I mean? And they just solely embrace the hip-hop culture of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I think it's imperative for us to, if we want to be, you know what I'm saying, if we want the culture to embrace Christianity, we need to likewise embrace the culture of today, where we see what's going on. Like, and it's like, I mean, it doesn't influence me. If you ask me, does it influence me in a negative way? I would say, I would hope that it doesn't. I want to say no, it doesn't. But ultimately, I can't say that it doesn't have some kind of maybe a little negative effect on me. I would be lying if I would just throw it out the window.
Right.
I pray that it doesn't. I don't see it having a negative effect on me. I think that it's only strengthened my approach, because now I can tackle what's going on. I see a lot of Christian hip hop, where it's just like they'd be good for the people who are just solely hip hop purists of yesterday, but I don't see a lot of hip hop, like Christian hip hop artists, that would be effective in the hip hop culture today, because they don't really respect it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They feel it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like they don't even feel that it's hip hop.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because of how much it's evolved. You know what I mean? Before it was just East Coast. Now it's everywhere. Always West Coast. And then even when it was East Coast and you had West Coast, you had a rift between. It was like, if you was from the East Coast, you probably was feeling NWA, but you was like, man, it's still, we rap East Coast.
Right.
So now you got cats from the East Coast doing songs with cats from the West Coast, and you got cats where you never thought the South would come. If you from the South, you don't even respect you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now you got cats like just coming out from the South, like running things. You got T.I., Young Jeezy, Lil Flip. I mean, the list goes on and on. So I think it's for me personally, I don't think it's imperative for someone to have to listen to and watch like videos, stuff like that. But I think for me as an artist, the type of artist that I am, I feel like it helps me.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, see for me, I think I'm gonna have to disagree. Because from what I've seen, I definitely tuned out, you know what I'm saying, when it came to, you know, when BET became Booties Exposed Television, you know what I'm saying, like, for me, I had to turn it off, you know what I'm saying, because the, you know, every video, the vast majority of the videos got half-naked girls up in there, you know what I'm saying, and the things that they're emphasizing, I mean, even beyond just the, what I'm not feeling artistically, you know what I'm saying? Just from a spiritual standpoint, it's like, okay, you know, I look at it as a diet, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is it that you're eating? You know what I'm saying? You can't eat sweets all week, you know what I'm saying? And then expect for it not to affect you, you know what I'm saying? Right. And in the same way, from a spiritual diet standpoint, it's like, man, how am I going to take in all of these images, you know what I'm saying? And then if it's not just the videos from the songs, like the things that they're talking about, you know what I'm saying? It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life.
Right.
It's like
right.
These things are constantly getting pumped in, you know what I'm
right.
saying? I feel like it's naive to say that I can make that my diet, mm-hmm. but it's not going to
right.
affect me at all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What I would say to that is basically, me personally, I don't really have it a part of my diet. It's not really my diet. I do watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I do listen to it. I think that I don't look at it any different as the hip hop of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The hip hop of yesterday was money, hoes, clothes. You know what I mean? Drugs, money. I mean, it was the Benzes back then. Now
right.
the Benzes that they got now, they got the Maybachs.
Right.
It was the big Dookie rope chain then.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got platinum.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think that sometimes people think that it's more depraved now.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? When the people who do believe that, I tend to disagree with that. You know what I'm saying? Because if that was the case, my parents would have let me listen to it back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they was opposed to it back then, just like they are now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, as far as like it being something that I like, kind of would think that people should tune out after a certain year, like
mm-hmm.
after like maybe 96 or 97 hit.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same back in 87 to me, man. Like, I mean, Two Live Crew.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Big Daddy Kane. I mean, Slick Rick. I mean, like
mm-hmm.
all of those cats, it was like, it was just a different time. It's the same though.
Right.
To me,
I feel
it was just as enticing.
No doubt. And I wouldn't even endorse that, you know what I'm
right.
saying? Like, for me, it's not a matter of, you know, there was once a golden era of hip hop when all was pure,
right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? And now it's defiled, you
right.
know what I'm saying? It's always been defiled in
Absolutely.
A sense. But I guess it's just like, you know, I believe we have to get to a point where the Lord begins to determine what our listening preferences are, you know what I'm saying, what our viewing preferences are. And I guess, I don't know, man, it's just like, I mean, in a sense, there's a, you know, it's a Christian liberty issue, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, there is no, you know, thou shalt not listen to Young Jeezy commandment, although I wish there was, maybe, but there isn't, though,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we have to let the scriptures determine,
right.
you know what I'm saying, what we're going to watch, what we're going to listen to,
right.
et cetera.
Yeah.
And I think also for me, I've been hit with the realization of just the whole stumbling block issue, you know what I'm saying? It's
Absolutely.
Like, you know, when some, you know, there are people who listen to my music who, you know, they have very negative experiences with secular music, you know what
right,
I'm saying? And
right.
so, you know, they get saved and they're like, you know what? I don't even want to listen to any secular music
right.
anymore, you know
right.
what I'm saying? So I'm a listen to Lamp Mode, I'm a listen to Jafia, without, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But then they come to me and it's like, if I'm, you know, indulging in the very things that they, you know, have, you know, tossed away for the
right.
sake of the Lord, now I'm causing them to stumble.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's something we need to be mindful of, that responsibility.
Right.
I've been challenged by that recently.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's always banging to me, you know what I'm saying, for me to get that perspective. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a perspective that, like, I challenge often. You
mm.
know what I'm saying? Because I think that sometimes I feel it could be biased.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just because there's so many other things that a person will embrace that doesn't embrace secular hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
This is just
mm-hmm.
as, you know what I'm saying, perverse.
So it's like it's a double standard.
Yeah. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So
mm-hmm.
it's like I always try to challenge people to give them, to like open it up, like sort of panoramically, like to see the bigger picture. Like, yo, if you're not going to do this, you might as well not do this either.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
you know what I'm saying? It's like you might as well just cut it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something I challenge people on. But I mean, I don't want people to like leave, you know what I'm saying, listening to this interview like thinking that, you know, I think that the content and of secular hip hop is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not cool. You know what I'm saying? If I thought it was cool, then I would just do secular hip hop.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be, you know what I'm saying, take a stand against, you know what I mean, like the content, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, so forth and so on. But I just feel that it's imperative, man, that if we going to challenge people not to listen to secular hip hop, we need to challenge them not to do all this other stuff too.
Right.
And that's where a lot of times, well, a lot of times it's not going to happen, because we know that most of us that don't listen to secular hip hop, we watch all kind of other stuff.
Right.
So it's like, it's kind of hard to challenge somebody on that.
Mm.
There are people who do it. There are people that I know that don't listen to secular hip hop. They don't even watch TV like that.
Right.
And a person like that, I can receive it more.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of who it's from, it's the truth.
Right.
I receive it.
Right.
But it's easy for me to, you know what I'm saying, say, here's a person that could tell you don't do it because they don't do any of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I feel you. Word.
Is that number one?
that was number
side
one.
Side note.
Okay.
That was number one. Yeah, but we're going to look at the lyrics to this. To Soul Survivor by Young Jeezy, featuring Akon. Akon's a locked up dude, right?
I'm locked up. Yep.
Right. Okay. So we're gonna read these lyrics. And you know what? Even before I get into it, I just want to just caution the people who are listening. The N word is in here, and
you gonna say it,
and I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna read it right off the page, just because it makes a point that I think is important.
Yep.
But and so if hearing the N word is something that's offensive to you, skip past this section. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a lot of other profanity. I'm not gonna say the other profanity.
Right.
So. With that said, this is Soul Survivor by Young Jeezy featuring Akon. Mm-hmm. It starts with the chorus with Akon saying, if you looking for me, I'll be on the block with my thing caught, possibly sitting on a drop. Because I'm a rider, I'm just a soul survivor. Because everybody know the game don't stop. Trying to make it to the top before your blank gets popped. If you a rider or just a soul survivor. And then Young Jeezy's first verse says, tonight I can't sleep, we living in hell. First they give us the work, then they throw us in jail. Road trip ya, I'm trafficking in the white. Please Lord, don't let me go to jail tonight. Who me? I'm a soul survivor. Ask about him in the street, the boy G's a rider. $100,000 on my wrist, yeah life sucks. F the club dog, I'd rather count $1,000,000. Yeah, so that's the first verse. Anybody want to comment?
I mean, you know, that's just, you know, an artist right there that's just giving you, I mean, the mindset, I would say, you know, the people that's living that lifestyle. I mean, that's what, he's just verbalizing their mindset.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, I think that's one thing that people like about Young Jeezy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, how you were saying, like, most of the songs are catered to the females.
Right.
I haven't heard Jeezy come out with one single yet that was catered to females.
Right.
Yeah, it was just straight up, like what's going on in the streets and his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I like about this joint? It's honest.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it's not like he's sitting there glamorizing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can relate to that. Like, you doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing, and you praying to the Lord, like, you don't get caught.
Yeah, I remember.
You know what I mean? Like, that was my daily thing I used to do. You know what I mean? It was like
Lord, please. Don't let them boys jump out on me.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just like, yo, he's miserable.
Yeah.
He's honest about it, and he's, you know, he's crying out.
Crying out,
man.
Yeah.
He really is.
That's wild, man, because I once heard somebody say that a lot of rap music today is, it's like the what's known as imprecatory psalms, and that's basically the Psalms of David, where he's basically cursing cats, you know what I'm saying? But it's an imprecatory psalm without the hope of a covenant-keeping God.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
You know, I think about, you know, Solomon writing Ecclesiastes,
where
he's talking about all these things that go on under the sun.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And these cats are talking about, you know, what they're experiencing under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad. I mean, it is honest. He said, tonight I can't sleep. We living in hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like, wow.
Yeah.
Word. Verse 2, he says, another day, another dollar. Same block, same nigga, same part, same green. I guess we got the same dreams. Or is it the same nightmares? We let the doves do it for us. We don't cry tears. Real niggas don't budge. When mailman got his time, he shot birds at the judge. I'm knee deep in the game. So when it's time to re-up, I'm knee deep in the cane. Real talk, look, I'm telling you, man. If you get jammed up, don't mention my name. Forgive me, Lord, I know I ain't living right. Gotta feed the block, niggas starving, they got appetites. And this is every day, it never gets old. Thought I was a juvenile, stuck to the G-code. This ain't a rap song, nigga, this is my life. And if the hood was a battlefield, then I earned stripes.
Yeah. Wow, man, dude is mad poetic, man. I'm saying he's mad poetic, and then from the beat from the south.
Right,
you know
right.
What I'm saying? He's mad poetic.
Dude, I'm
like,
surprised this joint is on what, the top two?
Song number two.
Yeah.
It's so, because I think what got him over, man, is that he's so, his words are so penetrating in a time where, you know, the top 10 songs usually are just like you were saying, shy, just catered to females, it's lighthearted, it's
right.
Like nothing really of really substance,
mm-hmm.
really just penetrating you to get you to stop and listen.
Right.
And I think that's what kind of like made people gravitate to him, but dude is crying out. He's like,
yeah,
that's like songs right there. Yeah.
Right. He said, forgive me, Lord, I know I ain't living right. Verse 3, gotta watch your move, cause them eyes be on you. Gotta drive real cool when them pies be on you. Just because we stack paper and we ball outrageous, them alphabet boys got us under surveillance. They like animals, they lock us in cages. The same nigga that's a star when you put him on stages. I ain't cheap, played the hand I was dealt. Tried to tax the grand pearl when I got it myself. Let's get it, no nuts, no glory. My biography, you damn right, the true story. Set the city on fire, and I ain't even try. Run these streets all day, I can sleep when I die. And then it closes with the bridge by Akon, where he says, because if you're looking for me, you can find me on the block disobeying the law. Real G, thoroughbred from the streets, pants sagging with my gun in my drawers, just to keep it moving now.
Yeah, man.
What you think, SO?
This joint is, I mean, he got political stuff in there. Yeah. Like, he just, stuff that he sees wrong, and it's aggravating him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that's, like, really he's doing, he's, like, he's just trying to, he's fine. Trying to get the only channel that he can to, like, do what's right. You know what I mean? And it just, it happens to be, he thinks, well, he knows he's doing wrong, but it's, like, he's just taking the easy way out. Yeah. Like, this is the quick solution. Like,
that's all I really
people
have, right?
People got to eat. You know, what's the quickest way I can make money quick?
Right.
You know, it's not right, but what they're doing isn't right. So, yeah, it's just like, man.
Yeah. And it's like, I think some people sometimes, like Christians, man, like when we listen to stuff like that, we bash them. Like, man, listen to what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just so godless. But I'm like, what do you expect him to talk about?
Right.
Like, what do we expect him to talk about how Jesus is Lord? Like, he's not born again. Like, what else is we expect him to talk about?
Right. Yeah, I think it's, I mean, just to read it, I don't even know, like, what the mood of the song is, you know what I'm saying? But just to read the lyrics on the page, it's just, it's sad, man. And it's really heartbreaking.
It is.
You know?
It's very heartbreaking.
And that's you know, that's one of the reasons why I appreciate cats like you, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like your music is really tailored towards cats who,
like,
who live in this, you know what I'm saying? Now, at the same time, I mean, I can see the error, you know what I'm saying, in a lot of what he's saying, just in terms of, you know, he says, you know, run these streets all day, I can sleep when I die.
Right.
It's like, yo, B, you know, from the scriptures, we learn that, you know, one, there is no peace for the wicked, you know what I'm saying, is what the Lord says. And, you know, without repentance, there will be no true rest, you know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of times there's a false assumption that, you know what I'm saying, because life is hell on earth, you know what I'm saying, that I automatically get a ticket to heaven.
Right.
Because it's hell here, so I'm definitely going to heaven when I die.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just not true.
Yeah,
that's not
yeah.
true. You know what I'm saying? The ticket to heaven is trusting right. in the Lord Jesus Christ
right.
and repenting
right.
and turning from your sins. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, and then you know, forgive me, Lord. It's interesting, you know. Mm-hmm. He
yeah.
said, please, Lord, don't let me go to jail. Yeah. Forgive me, Lord. I know I ain't living right.
Right.
It makes me wonder, you know what
right.
I'm saying? Like just in his background,
right.
if somebody imparted
yeah.
oh,
something.
Oh, he definitely
to him.
Got it in the background, man.
Because mm-hmm.
yeah. I know, like listening to tapes back in the day when cats like would, you know, we would make tapes in my basement, like 4 a.m. freestyling.
Right.
Every other line would be talking about the Lord. Cats
right,
would be
right,
drunk,
right.
bent, and he'd be
yeah.
talking about. Hustling in the other rhymes, and it's just
right.
like mm-hmm. it's crazy how you
yeah.
have that in there, but it has no effect in you. And it's like
right. mm-hmm.
I see it a lot of times in you know MCs and stuff. It's like
yeah.
you can tell they have something there
yeah.
and
because,
they know something.
Yeah, because a lot of times, like when you in that lifestyle, it's like especially if you went to jail,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? It's like you probably read the Bible
mm-hmm.
at some point because you feel like you're so close to death.
Right.
You just want to know what's after that.
Mm.
You just feel like you just close to God already because it's like, you like, I mean, I could die an hour from now.
Mm.
Like, especially if you're in the streets. Like, if you heavy in it like
mm.
that.
Yeah.
Then it's like you just need answers.
Right.
And you know that you're not finding none.
Mm.
So it's like only person that really can give you answers is God. So you just constantly, you constantly crying, you constantly talking to God, man.
Mm.
Whether you mad at God or
mm.
something, you know what I mean? It's always some kind of like communication where you trying to get something from God, you know
mm.
what I'm saying? But the people, it's sad because the people that don't represent Christ to the world, you
right.
know what I mean? A lot of times we're so mean.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We're so mean to, like, the world
mm.
because of how they are. And it's like, that's why I challenge people, like, yo, what do you expect them to be about? Like,
right, right.
You know what I mean? That's why we have to be a light in darkness. And
mm.
it's like, sometimes, man, it's like, we come with an angry gospel
mm.
because we're so mad at them. You know
mm.
what I mean? It's like, yo, you got to come in love. It's not about you.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Real talk, man. On that note, man, I just want to... Why don't we just offer up some prayer, man? Let's shoot up
yeah,
a prayer for, you know, for young Jesus,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? And just
yeah.
just for the sake of the world, man. Let's go before the Lord.
Yeah.
Jay, you want to open this?
Yeah. Father, we just thank you. God, we thank you for what you're doing, you know, with this whole show, God, and just bringing your perspective to the people, you know, even just through hip-hop.
Mm.
We thank you for the church embracing hip-hop even more every day. Mm. You know, we just ask you, God, that you would just, you know what I mean, be with people in this hip-hop culture, the secular hip-hop side of the culture where, you know, you have cats like Young Jeezy and G-Unit and, you know, Jay-Z and all these different people who come from the streets and they just... you know, that's all I ever knew.
Mm.
You know, anytime, you know what I'm saying, only real person that they really knew that was into that represented you was like maybe their aunt or their grandma,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like they never really had somebody to see that looks like them really representing you comfortably.
Right, right.
Every time they saw somebody representing you that looked like them, they weren't representing you comfortably.
Mm.
They were representing you like uncomfortably. It's like they didn't really, it felt like they were forcing themselves to be a certain way.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it just makes the streets and the world just look at Christians that look like them as like fake.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Or then you got the cats who just bash them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That don't show no love. So we just ask you, God, that you would just send people, raise people up in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, there would be a light that would take a stand for your gospel, people who love your gospel, that take a stand for it, that would represent the true nature of Christ.
Yeah.
That's love. Second Corinthians, you say in your word, Lord, in the end of the book, you say, you know, you tell us to stand and do all these things, but you say it's like almost like a command where you say let everything you do be done with love.
Mm.
Everything, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
We can't escape that mandate.
Mm.
We try to escape it so much, you know, because we feel like the world has, so they got one up on us.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So much dissing you,
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times they only diss you, God, because of how we present you. Mm. We apologize, Lord, for just representing you, just trying to dress you up. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You beautiful alone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Without us putting any makeup on you.
Yeah.
So we just ask you that you would just show us how to represent you and not try to dress you up for the world. We think sometimes that they won't just have Christ alone. We need to attach something that's attractive to Christ to draw them in. And you know, we taking away from your beauty, add makeup on. And we just bless you, Father. We just thank you. We just ask you to touch young Jeezy. You know, change his heart, draw him even more closer to you. Put people in his life that really represents you.
Yeah.
If there needs to be people that look like him, so be it. If it's somebody from the suburbs, so be it. It doesn't have to be a thug, an ex thug that wins young Jeezy. You know what I'm saying? We know that. So we just ask you to whoever it is, just give him. Give somebody your truth, God, that would just, you know, give them the gospel of love. You know what I'm saying? Not an angry gospel. You know, and in Jesus' name we pray.
Yeah, Lord, we just come before you, and we know that you're able to penetrate this man's heart. And Lord, that even amidst the allure of success that he may have, Lord, he's still honest and open enough to admit that he's not happy and that he sees things in the world that aren't right. And Lord, I just pray that you would come into his life as Savior and humble him.
Yes, please, Father. Please.
To believe in you and to have rest, Lord, to have eternal life.
Yes,
Lord.
Father.
Father, I know you can do it, and I just pray that however it may be done, whether it is through you know, someone like Jafiah prayed, or through circumstances, Lord, that you would just humble him and bring him close to you. Lord, not only him, but I'll pray for the hip-hop society at large. Lord, so much confusion thrown in, and just tolerance of ideas and spirituality. Lord, I just pray that they would come to know you as the one true living God, and just come to see Christ exalted, Lord, and that, Lord, they're so blinded by society's definition of a male and what power looks like, Lord, but I pray they would be attracted to your beauty and Christ's meekness and his being so strong that he could lay down his strength, Lord, and put it aside, Lord. I pray that would be beautiful to them. And Lord, we can rest and trust that it's got to be you that does this, Lord, and we just we ask you to do it, Lord, so that he could glorify your name and just give you props.
Word.
In the name of your son Christ, I pray.
Word. And Father, Lord, we come to you on behalf of your people asking for forgiveness, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, forgive us just for our prayerlessness. You know what I'm saying, Lord? We can be very quick to point out what's wrong with secular hip-hop and its artists, and there is a lot wrong with it, Lord, but we're oftentimes, Father, not as quick to pray for cats, Lord. And so I pray, Lord, that you would really stir us up, you know, give us the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, who looked out upon the multitude and wept. The Lord Jesus Christ, who had compassion on cats because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd, Lord. Would you please give us that same kind of mindset?
Yes,
Father, Lord, I pray, pray for young Jeezy, Lord. Just reading those lyrics just really touched my heart, Lord. I just, Lord, it seems like he's crying out to you, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would show yourself to be real in his life, Lord, that you really would draw him to you, Lord. And Lord, we know that there's a lot of obstacles, Lord. Fame can be an obstacle. Riches can be an obstacle, Lord. Success can even be an obstacle, Lord. And so I pray that you break through all of that, Lord God. And reveal yourself to this cat in a way that just blows his mind, Lord, and just causes him to bend the knee and bow and confess now, not later, Lord, but now, that he would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
And Lord, we pray that you would do it for the sake of your name, Lord, not because we're looking for there to be a Christian version of Young Jeezy making albums, Lord, so that the church could get credibility, Lord, but just for the sake of his soul, Lord, whether he ever, never does an album, Lord, just for the sake of his soul, would you be gracious to him, Lord? And we just, our hearts and our prayers go out to all those who are in the bondage of the enemy, who your word says is the ruler of the kingdom, the prince of the power of the air, Lord. Would you break down his strongholds, Lord? We cry out to you, knowing that you're sovereign, knowing, Lord, that you're able. Yes. You alone are able to cause a rebellious heart to submit to you. And so we pray that you would do it for the sake of your son, Jesus Christ. Yes. And we lift these things up in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's banging.
Word. We'll take a break and we'll be back with the interview with Jafire Life. Yeah. All right, keep it locked.
Boom, boom.
To say I got me an angel. The hand is blessed, it was rocking my cradle. My joy is coming, man, if I stay faithful. Look at God, I'm about to sign with a label. I'm something like Dorothy on my pants. Not Kansas, Nashville, I'm home at last.
Nashville,
second home that is. I'm from Philly for sure. And some of y'all know my past. I should have been gone, God is good. Definitely God is watching the hood. Ain't nothing changed, man, I'm still in the hood. If I could leave, man, I know that I would.
Better know it.
Look at life thinking he all that. Oh, you thought that I ain't peep all that. I'm calling God, man, till he called back. Von Dutch, just to beat my hat. You know my heart black. Been the places I've been. If you ain't never cried in your dreams, if you ain't never read the pages I've read, then you can never understand what I mean. I saw my mama cry tears of pain for me. Now I see her cry tears of joy. I done seen so many years of pain, homie. The sun does shine after the storm. Everybody cry after you gone. And everybody cry after you gone. I know a lot of folks feel my pain. I seen people cry when I perform. Cause pain is real, but heaven is real. I pray for all of y'all whenever I kneel. I know that they don't like the pleasure I feel. But I'ma write about whatever I feel. Cause pain in me. I'm calling God till he call me back. Why they still try changing me? Why they wanna lay me on my back? It's like that and it's plain to see. Can't far enough, I can't turn back. Better believe I know that he loves me. All I need is a little of that. Now bring it back.
Yeah, that was All I Know, new joint by Jafire Life. It's going to be on his new album. Beatmart Recordings is releasing it, called Fountain of Life.
Right.
When does that drop?
Tentatively, March 21st.
March 21st?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the street date for it.
Dope, dope. So kind of describe the process of, you know, getting with Beatmart, working with Todd Collins, what that was like.
Right. Initially, what happened was, a few years ago, a friend of mine from New York, this is a photographer, he was in Philly working at a studio down Allegheny Avenue. It was like right above a church, right next to a church. So then he invited me down to meet some people that were down there, and one of the guys was a producer, one of the guys was a graphic artist, and they both were doing work for Goatee.
Are you talking about ASAP Studios?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
ASAP, like Liquid Beats.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ryan Pichardo.
Uh-huh.
The
graphics.
He did the, he actually did, Ryan Pichardo did the graphics for, he did the logo for a Christian rock group called Pillar.
Mm. Okay.
I was actually there when he was working on it. Mm. He was like, yo, you think it's hot? I was like, it's hot. And it's crazy that I see it now, and I'm like, wow, Ryan did that.
Mm.
But, I was down there with them, and what happened was, Alex is the guy's name, who was the photographer from New York. He was like, yo, you know, people loving your stuff down here at the studio, they wanted you to come down, so they brought me down. And Todd and some other people from Goatee were coming in to get with Liquid and Ryan. So they said, when they come down, we want you to meet them. So when they came down to Philly, I came down to ASAP, and we met. Todd was there, a couple A&Rs from Goatee, and we went out to South Street. We hung out. I had my Pages of Life EP with me. It came out maybe a year before that. I played it for him on the way down South Street. He was like, "Yo, this is you." I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "Yo, this is hot, man. We gotta get you down Nashville." So,
and this was before he had Beatmart,
yeah,
right? He was still with Goatee.
I don't think he was still with Goatee. He had Beatmart Productions when he would do tracks for like Out of Eating. He was like produced by Todd Collins for like Beatmart Productions.
Hmm.
It was just in that phase. So I came down to Nashville. I did a track with Liquid. I did a track with Todd, just demoing some stuff to get a feel for if I could fit in with that whole world. And what we did, he was like, yo, I'm feeling what we did. He was like, unfortunately, right now, I don't have a situation that I could, like, kind of involve you with. He was like, when I get my situation, I'm going to get at you. And, a year, maybe a year and a half later, he kept his word. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so this was 2 years ago?
About 2 or 3 years ago?
2 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. And then he kept his word. He called me, and he was like, yo, I got a situation. You know, I want to sign you. I want you to be my first artist.
Wow.
So, you know, they flew me back down to Nashville. We sat down, we talked about it. Everything was, seemed like it would work pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And, we did some more songs. Actually, some of the songs just on the out, like All I Know, the track that they just heard was one of the first songs that I did with Ty, for my album. Fountain of Life, you know what I'm saying? So it took maybe about a month or two to kind of work through all the paperwork, and then we decided that it would be a good situation.
Okay.
Ever since that, I had left Beatmart for a minute,
right?
You know what I mean? Due to some like creative differences, and then came back, you know what I'm saying? Like you know, people, it was just such in demand by the people. They was like, yo, this album is like half done. It's never gonna see the light of day. Like, we wanna hear it. So we just kind of like decided to put our differences to the side, and you know, we believed that it was a situation that God had put together. So we decided to get back together and make it happen.
Hmm.
Okay.
Banger. So you got the Fountain of Life project coming out.
Fountain of Life, right?
Right. It's coming out in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I ever heard you was from the Pages of Life.
Okay.
I guess it was the EP.
Right.
Right. And I remember it was a while ago. This is like, just a few years back now.
2001.
Yeah. It was around then, but it was a Christian radio station, like on a bugged out AM station here in Philly.
Yeah.
And I heard something, and it was one of your songs from the Pages of Life, and I was like, wait, hold up. Who's this cat? You know what I'm saying? Just like, right. Just coming with content that was pointing cats towards Christ, but the sound of it was just street. You know what I'm saying? Just like, okay. So since then, I was, you know, just kind of checking for you. Then I finally had a chance to hear, you know, a lot of the songs from, you know, a lot of your work. You know what I'm saying? And I've just always appreciated. I've always appreciated the heart behind your music. You know what I'm saying? It's always something that, and I've told you this before, but it's emotional. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's stuff that's really heartfelt. You know what I'm saying? But now I know also that your sound has definitely changed. You know what I'm saying? When I listen to old pages, when I listen to Pages of Life, it's like, you know what I'm saying? I hear one thing,
right.
And it's over the years, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So can you just talk about just how your sound has changed over the years?
I think that being like I said, being an artist is kind of, I try to stay plugged in to the culture of today, the hip hop culture of today. Just music overall, like I listen to everything. I listen to Christian rock, I listen to Christian rap, I listen to, you know what I mean, songs like, you know, albums by like Out of Eden. I listen to just gospel, Mary. I listen to secular stuff, everything. You know, so I think that plays a part in my progression as far as like growing and maturing. It's sort of like I liken it to like Illmatic, Nas. And a couple years later, he put out, you know, It Was Written.
Right, yeah, that was
It Was Written
one.
Or I Am.
Yeah, It Was Written.
It Was Written was a second one.
Yeah, so it's like you can even hear the difference in them. And it's just a natural progression, I would say, man. It's nothing forced that I try to do. It's just I try to come with where I'm at. I try to go in the booth and just like, this is where I'm at. This is the type of stuff I'm feeling now. And I try to come with that. You know what I mean? I never try to stay a certain way. I always want to grow. You know what I mean? Whether spiritually, just mentally, like
artistically,
I always want to just grow. So
what would you say is the objective of your music?
I would say one of the main objectives of my music is just giving people a glimpse of my life, and hopefully through giving them a glimpse of what I've been through and how God has changed my life around, that they would be, it would provoke them to want to change their life around for Christ and see, just give people Christ alone, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to just, like I said, just adding, you know what I mean, like, I'm sitting on 22s and I got Christ too, like, that ain't my thing, you know what I'm saying, like, I just have a problem with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, just me personally, I could never see myself coming out like that. Like, I think sometimes, like I said, people try to say, well, you know, like I'm on 22s, but I got Christ too. It's like saying, like, you know, in order for you, I can't just talk about Christ to provoke you to want Christ.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think like how when we was going through the Young Jeezy lyrics, it's like how he's just like, this is what it is. I try to give you really what it is, and what me coming to Christ and knowing that he wanted to bless me with a Bentley is not what made me want Christ. Like I never believed that God wanted to bless me with those type of things. You know what I'm saying? If he does in the future, cool, like, you know what I'm saying, but that's not where my focus is at. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I just, my objective with my music, like I said, is just to really just point people towards Christ through them seeing my life.
Can you share a little bit? You talk about your life a lot in your music, but can you just share for the people, you know, just what were the circumstances that, you know, that brought you to the Lord? And
One thing was when I was hustling in the streets, I was born again then. I was saved then. So in 97, I rededicated my life to Christ. My father, he led me back to Christ. Basically, I knew what was wrong then. It was like a certain line I wouldn't cross, even in the streets, because I always had mercy. Like, I was the most merciful cat out of my whole crew.
Mm.
Like, I was, like, the peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody was, like, if I thought my crew was going to move on somebody, and I was, like, I didn't think they deserved it, I would get at them early, like, yo, dip out, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, go, you know what I mean? Because they coming for you. So, right. It was, like, I always had a merciful heart, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, God was showing me, like, people who was older than me that was still doing what I was doing then.
Mm.
And I was like, nah, that's not going to be me when I'm, like, 26, 27. I was
right.
Like, I know God got something for me, like, better than this. I was like, I'm not going to be out here when I'm 27. I was like, they on syrup and they, you know what I mean, taking pills. And I'm like, I'm taking pills and I'm on syrup now, but they, like, 8 years older than me.
Right.
So I was like doing it. Yeah, I was like, so that was one of the things that kinda like, you know, and then my man, he's born again too. His father's a pastor. Actually, Deuce from the Cross Movement, his wife Michelle, her cousin.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm best friends with her cousin.
Okay.
And we was in the streets together. We was like hustling together. We was inseparable.
Mm.
And when he left to go to North Carolina, he was like, yo, my family, my uncle, you know what I mean? He's moving to North Carolina. He want me to go with him. I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you going? I was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, I'm going. He's like, I'm tired of this, man. He was like, I just want to see what God got for me.
Mm.
And when he left, that left me just with the other members of my crew, and none of them was saved.
Mm.
So it was just like, here I go, I'm the oddball now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, either I'm going to get closer to God, or I'm going to get closer to them. So I was like, God just was like tugging on my heart, man, with stuff that was going on.
Mm.
And eventually, man, the Lord just drew me back to him.
Wow.
You know, so.
Now, were you rhyming
yeah.
at that time?
Yeah, I was rhyming. I started rhyming in like 93.
Okay.
Yeah, like what really made me want to rhyme like that was Ready to Die, like mm-hmm. Biggie's album, Ready yeah. to Die,
mm-hmm.
like that, and like Reasonable Doubt and Illmatic and the infamous
Mobb
yeah.
Deep,
joint,
yeah,
that's
94.
Like that.
That's
yeah.
the
yeah, even Doggy,
something having
yeah.
that year,
yeah, yeah, even Doggy Style, Snoop's joint and the Chronic and all of that, so.
Mm.
Yeah, I was definitely rhyming back then.
What was that, 11, 12 years
yeah,
ago now?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy
it's
to say that?
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Even before that, before I started rhyming, I wanted to rhyme.
Hmm.
Like, listening to, like, EPMD and, like, LL, KRS-One, and
right.
Run DMC,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Those cats. So, I always was like, this is something I wish I could do. I wish I could rap.
Hmm.
And then when I got around a couple cats in my crew, it was just a problem in the streets when it came to rhyming.
Right.
They was just in my immediate crew,
hmm.
and they was like, you gonna rhyme too now? We want to hear you rap today. And we sitting in this van. We used to have this van. We blowing L's, and they like, all right, your turn. I was like, no, I'm not rapping.
Right.
And then I just did it for the fun of it. And I think what I did was just say, like, when I first rap, I just said what was on my mind. What was really on my mind. I didn't try to, like, impress nobody.
Mm.
And they was like, yo, that's what's up. Yo, you got to keep rhyming.
Mm.
And they just kind of encouraged me. And even what made me want to rap for Christ wasn't Christian hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, when I started rapping for Christ, I didn't even hear Christian hip hop.
Right.
Like, I knew that it existed, but mm-hmm. I didn't hear any of it.
Right.
So it's like, I just was like, I knew in the world, I always talked about what went on in my life. And when I transformed my life, I just talked about what went on in my life.
Hmm.
You know, so.
Now, what is it that makes you, because it's clear to me, you know, listening to your music, there's, you know, there's, God is always there, you know what I'm saying? Christ is always in the mix, you know what I'm saying? Why is it that you choose? Because that's a willful choice, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, some people would make the willful choice to leave him out,
right?
You know what
right.
I'm saying? But it seems like you make a choice to keep him in there,
man, yeah.
in the mix.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that apart from, you know, just me, just giving people me, I don't think that would really want. People really don't really want me.
Mm.
Like, they wouldn't really like me. They'd get tired of me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, Christ is like the the focus of my life. You know what I'm saying? He's the only thing that keeps me from just going buck. You know what I mean? So it's like I always feel like if I don't talk about him, there's something missing. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'll throw a whole rhyme away. I can't rhyme about like just myself. I just have a problem with it. So, you know, it's very hard for me to do. Even when I've tried sometimes, man, it's just like, that's not me. You know what I mean? So I know with certain rappers, I guess they would say that they Christian hip hop. But it's like they don't ever talk about like God, I guess. They just rap about hip hop, I guess. But it's like I don't really call that Christian hip hop. I just call that hip hop. You just a Christian. You know what I'm saying? It's the difference between somebody that's like trying to like provoke, trying to provoke people to see what caught your attention, that made you want to change your life, and that's what I try to like hit people with, like, look at what I saw. You know what I mean? So.
But I want to get into some of these because we got some questions from the from different people on the message
from the
board.
This from Holy Culture Radio.
Yeah, it's from Holy Culture Radio.
Now you wasn't peeking, were you?
Nah.
Okay.
So I don't have any pre.
So we got some questions from different cats on the message board, and we'll just get right to it. Let me see. I got a lot of questions to choose from. Okay. Poetic wants to know, how do you respond to Christian cats who think your music is just positive? And you actually just touched on that a little bit, but that's their question.
How do I respond to Christians who feel my music is just positive? I don't see how they can see my music as just being positive. Honestly, like I don't see how my music is apart from, I'm not sure what he means, just positive, like just something that's like, what is that? Like, I don't even know what that is. Like, just positive. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just,
well, I know that there's a there's a debate within Christian hip hop circles about, just like you were just saying, cats who, you know, that say that their music is Christian, but when you listen to it, the content, you don't really hear anything that's distinctly Christian about it. Versus other cats who would say, no, like it's the Christ in the music that's what makes it Christian.
I would.
I guess he's saying for people who would put you in that other
category,
right?
I've never really heard any of my music that was just like sound like it didn't have Christ in it. Like that's my desire to have Christ in my music. And what I can say to that is maybe they may feel like that because my stuff doesn't sound preachy. You know what I'm saying? It's more of like saturated with outreach as opposed to just like, you know, maybe theological rap. I don't know. Like maybe that's what he's trying to say. Like some people have a problem with Christian hip hop that's not saturated. They'll see, like, I can see somebody saying, like, I can see somebody saying when they hear my stuff, like, where's the word? You know what I'm saying? And what I challenge them is, and saying is, like, you got artists, this Christian hip hop artists, they heavy on the gospels. You got some people where they may fall into the epistles. My stuff is like Psalms. You know what I'm saying? Just constant, like, transparency, like, crying out. Even being born again, just crying out. You know what I'm saying? Like, in total dependence on him and through my struggles, my everyday struggles. So I guess being as though maybe my stuff isn't, like, as preachy, it comes off kind of unorthodox, like, and different than what they've been used to. But I don't see how they could just hear my music and not hear Christ. Through my testimony and where I'm, like, you always hear me reaching in my music, like, for God independently.
Speaking of reaching, Caspian wants to know, why do you think it's so difficult to reach the streets with the true gospel?
I don't think that it's hard to reach the streets with the true gospel. I mean, the true gospel is one of love. You know what I'm saying? It's like, God sent his son, you know what I'm saying? John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes we get, we start learning so many scriptures that we get away from that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's so powerful. We a lot of us knew that one when we was kids.
Right.
So it's like we think that's like, you know, that's just the, you know what I mean, the beginning stages of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that is the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like sometimes people get away from that. I think that's why, and they try to like bring stuff that's like sometimes it's over people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't even, they can't even, you just went over their head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how can you expect them to embrace something that's over their head?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And not saying that it's like if they don't know about it, of course they're not, they have to learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
But consciously just coming over their head.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? It's like that, like I was saying about like secular artists, is like what, like I said, what do we expect them to rap about?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like that's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like when you got a cat who you can tell has a heart for them, I think that they'll be able to tell that they have a heart for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be able to say, well, wow, this person really seems like he's concerned about my well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? As opposed to just trying to get his Christian perspective across.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And when we humble ourselves and come back to humility mm-hmm. as a culture, I think that the world will embrace Christianity.
Do you feel like the streets are being reached?
Nah, I don't think, like, lyrically, when I listen to Christian hip hop, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
that is really penetrating the streets.
Mm-hmm.
It's penetrating.
Well, first, why don't we define what the streets is?
Right.
That might be helpful.
Yeah, I want to separate the streets from just the unsaved secular culture.
Okay.
Because you got a lot of people who is not born again, but they not streets.
Right.
Not the streets, but so it is penetrating the lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But as far as the streets, I mean, I don't really feel like it's really penetrating the streets because the music that you have out in the forefront
mm-hmm.
of Christian hip hop today is not really telling, like the stuff is not really reaching, it's just not really
mm-hmm.
grabbing them.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like until we got, and like I said, it's like it don't take a thug to reach a thug,
mm-hmm.
but it's just that sometimes in the music that I hear, it's like it's just not really saturated with the gospel of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, this is what it is, and you over here, you doing that, you know what I mean? We doing this, and mm-hmm. it's like people feel like they're being judged before you even, it's no sympathizing with what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like how they say, yo, you got money now, you done forgot where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sometimes I feel like we done got so saved, and we done learned so much Bible,
mm-hmm.
and we got so many books now. In our library that we done forgot where we came from.
Mm.
You know, so that's just my personal opinion.
Alright.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the cat out there that doesn't know, when we say streets, how would you define that to them?
The streets, I define the streets as like cats, it's like, you know, just in the hood, even if you're not in the drug game. A lot of people just find the streets like cats is involved in the drug game,
mm-hmm.
and females is involved in the drug game. But that's part of the streets. But you got cats is just in that territory that live there, that just embrace that whole mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's out there on the corner smoking weed and, you know what I'm saying, hanging out in the streets, shooting dice, and
mm-hmm.
it's the streets. Like, that's the streets. You know what I mean? So it's like those people, it's like they not even, how we come to them is like, they like, what are you talking about? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to say some stuff. Like, I was with an artist one time, and I watched how he approached this one cat, and how he approached him. It was like, it was in love, but how he did it, it was just like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even know what he was talking about. It was like his mindset was kind of like obsolete to the culture of today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I feel like Christian hip hop is just so out of the loop
mm-hmm.
a lot of times. You know what I mean? So, and you could see him reaching, trying to come with stuff, and you could tell we listening to stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
We listening to secular hip hop, so we reaching, trying to make music to appeal to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, yo, it ain't that. It's like we trying to dress like them, wear baggy jeans and fitted hats and all of that, and like do-rags, and it's like, yo, that's just a costume.
Right, right.
It's about what's on the inside. You can have on a three-piece suit, and the streets recognize. They can ask you, like, yo, you rhyme? You like, why you ask me I rhyme? I got a three-piece suit on, because I could tell you just look like you rhyme regardless of what you got on.
Mm.
So I think sometimes we try to fit in the culture and dress like them and talk like them, and it's like, they like, yo, we could tell you ain't from around here. You ain't from here. Just be yourself.
Question from G Styles. What advice do you have for up and coming artists trying to make it in gospel rap? Many think you start and the money comes in and you never have to work another job. Is this a myth?
I mean it's not really a myth, because you got some people who live off of it, so I can't say it's a myth. Now, you said, what advice would I give?
Yeah, what advice do you have for up-and-coming artists?
What advice would I have for up-and-coming artists? First of all, you know, make sure that this is a ministry that God has called you to.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if this is not a ministry that God hasn't called you to, you really won't be effective.
Mm.
Like that. You need to, some people are hearing, I'm like, yo, why don't you just go preach?
Mm.
I'm like, why are you running from preaching?
Right.
Stop running from preaching. Mm. Just go preach. Like, you're afraid to embrace preaching because you still want to be down.
Yeah.
You don't want them to look at you like you're not down. Like, right. Just go preach.
Right.
And, you know what I mean?
And that kind of reminds me of, you know, some of the people who, you know, have a problem with, you know, the word hip hop. You know, they would say, you know, I don't do hip hop. I do Christian rap, you know what
right.
I'm saying? Like, in the sense that I'm going to detach myself completely from the culture,
right.
But yet take this portion of the culture, yeah. You know what I'm saying, and try to use it to reach people. But yeah. I'm just like, yo, why even rap? Just go ahead and preach. Like, why take the beat away?
Yeah.
Take the mic? Like, just go
You'll
preach.
You'll be more effective preaching.
Hmm.
You know, so, but that's the first thing I would say to somebody that's up and coming. Like, yo, just make sure that this is definitely a ministry that God has called you to, not one that you want to be involved with.
Hmm.
So
you do see what you do as ministry?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, what I do is, like, if it was just rap, I would just rap secular.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's what I do is ministry. Like, it's. I mean, it's just, my heart is for the lost.
Hmm.
You know, so.
Jay Norman from Pittsburgh. It's not a question, but it's a comment. He says, a lot of people in the streets are feeling your music. Keep giving the lost some hope.
Thank you.
Word of encouragement.
I mean, just thanks a lot. Keep praying for me that, you know what I'm saying, I would do things God's way.
Hmm.
You know, it's easy to do things my way.
Flow with God, big ups Flow, wants to know, do you think we'd be more effective if cats from different camps unified, perhaps for a tour or a conference or something along those lines?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we'd be more effective if we unified. It doesn't have to necessarily be over beats. You don't have to do songs and collab together.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know what I'm saying, we can be effective aside from us doing songs together. We just unify and just be supportive of one another once we know that we believe that the other person's what they do is ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Then partner up with them. Like, if you don't feel it is ministry, then that's a different story.
Mm.
You know, but once you feel it, if you feel it's ministry, then partner up. It's like, why you think, like, hip hop today is so strong? Because, like I said earlier, you got East Coast cats doing stuff with West Coast cats, West Coast cats doing stuff with down south cats, Midwest cats. You got everybody doing songs together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I mean, it's just people that, you know, I couldn't see myself doing a song with.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely people like that, because just our styles is just too, it wouldn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when certain people, when they do songs together, even in the secular world, it's just like, it just don't sound, it sounds forced.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So just from an artistic standpoint,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
Choir Boy wants to know, is the issue of reaching the church versus the streets hurting the body? It feels like the East Coast, West Coast beef. You know, so some cats saying, well, you know, what you do is for the church, you know, what I do is for the streets, or vice versa. Do you feel like that's that issue is hurting
the body?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's like it's tough for me to say because I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I agree some people reach the church, some people reach the streets. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like some people don't want to admit that.
Right.
Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. Like, you reach the church, we reach the church, y'all reach the streets.
Right.
Like, I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think just some people get mad when they say, you reach the church. They don't want to just be labeled as somebody who reaches the church.
Right.
But it's like, why get mad at it if all your stuff... Yeah. It's like only somebody that goes to church is gonna understand.
Right. And I'll be honest, man, like from the very beginning, like it was clear to me that my ministry is one of discipleship.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
One of edification and building up the body of Christ. You know what I'm saying? It's like one person sows the seed, another person waters it,
right.
You know what I'm saying? I've always seen myself as a waterer.
Right.
And I'm fine with that, you know what I'm saying? Because that's my calling, you know what I'm saying? But I think that, I think sometimes people would, you know, kind of look at that and say, nah, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, why you just trying to get the people in the church?
Yeah.
Like, they already there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like...
Nah, they need this discipleship.
Yeah.
So I think that's banging. I try to like get people to embrace that more because it's like people, I think sometimes people think that I'm opposed to people who reach the church because people always say my stuff reaches the streets. And it's like I got friends that's like that, that like have their stuff is telefit for the church.
Right.
It's like they think that like all I don't want to even be associated with people like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like me and you, like we, like I consider us friends.
Yeah.
It's like I think people would be surprised to know that.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? So it's like that they think like Shah reaches the church, the fire, we think the fire reaches the streets. It's like, but we respect each other's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you told me, like, you know what I mean, the things you appreciate about mine, and there's definitely a ton of things I appreciate about yours. So it's like, I think that once we get past that and we can just get to know each other and respect each other's ministry, I think that, you know what I'm saying, number one, we will be more unified, and, you know what I'm saying, it would just help, you know what I mean, the overall growth of the culture.
All right. Try to take one more question. This is from, I'll take a question from Redeemed, who asks, and this is for all of us to answer.
Okay.
On a personal level, what turning point in your life focused you to stay with this ministry in spite of all the obstacles?
Okay, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. What inspired me to stay with it, you know, beyond all the obstacles, is that I knew God called me to this.
Mm.
That's what gave me peace and knowing what I'm doing. Like, a lot of people try to say, all kind of stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just like, I had to just tune it out, you know, and know what God called me to. Like, I had people come up to me and just be like, yo, I apologize, man. Like, I slandered you. You know what I mean? Like, I was opposed to your ministry. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't like what I was used to hearing. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, it's cool, man. Like, you know what I mean? I forgive you. Like, it's all good. Like, I've forgiven everybody that's done stuff like that. So I think knowing that God called you to something is definitely something that will keep you in it. If you kind of like, you don't really, you know what I'm saying, know if it's something God called you to, you would stop, you know what I'm saying? But that's been the main thing that's kept me here, you know what I'm saying?
Just being sure that the Lord has called you to it.
Just being sure, like, and just seeing the fruit. Like, you can't argue with results, you know what I'm saying? When people emailing you, telling you, yo, your song helped me get through the day. You know what I'm saying? I was having suicidal thoughts, and your music encouraged me to, you know what I'm saying, continue to put my faith in God that He would get me through this fiery trial. You know what I'm saying? Just knowing that my music is
the kind of music where, you know what I'm saying, it's just telling for people who at their last straw. You know what I'm saying? They ready to just end it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And only thing that sometimes is keeping another person is your testimony of how God got you through a fiery trial. And being as though I'm one, and I'm always like how you, like Jeezy, he talking about was really good around him. I'm always putting that out there, like what I'm going through in the body, all my obstacles that I face, and I think people relate to it, and they able to be like, yo, I mean, it really helps me. So just knowing that I'm helping people, knowing the results that I'm getting results,
right?
That's one of the things too.
Amen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I got a sense, and from looking at the results, like he's saying, like, just the Lord has been with me and with us as a movement and a crew. You know, it's just like, this is obvious, you know, like kind of the theme or the theme verse, the scripture that I always think of is like, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And it's obvious, like, we're responsible to do labor and to work, but ultimately he's got to add the increase. So it's possible we could be doing everything we've done and him not add any increase. But on the other side, like, just doing the work we have done, like, he has been faithful. And I mean, the kind of the turning point, I haven't seen many obstacles, actually, like, just sitting here listening to him and trying to think, there haven't been, you know, I mean, you get people and your own doubts that just see, like, you know, it doesn't make sense, you know, why would you want to do this? And then a certain point is like, yeah, we're trying to do music, and it's entertainment, and it's a business, so obviously you want to sell as much as you can. So why would you be doing this? You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't you try and do the music that sells? You know what I mean? So that you get those doubts, and it doesn't make sense. But like, a turning point, just kind of coming back to the Lord in 2001, like, all the circumstances, this is just kind of a natural progression of my life, you know. So I think any ministry should just be a result of your life, kind of. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be forced, or it shouldn't be separated from your life. It should just be a natural extension of what you're doing already. So,
right.
You know, I'm doing music, and it just so happens that the music I'm doing now is ministry. You know, so if I was building cars or whatever, hopefully that would become a ministry. You know, just as a result of my relationship with the Lord.
Word. I think for me, I think the mindset that I came into it with, one, was just like, you know, hip hop wasn't something that I really even pursued. You know what I'm saying? It really kind of found me, just as far as, you know, spitting for the Lord. I didn't have any illusions coming into it that, you know, first of all, I wasn't spitting for the money. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
anybody
right.
who's doing holy hip hop
right.
for the money, like,
right.
finds out real quick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's not that shouldn't be your motivation.
Right.
And also, I wasn't doing it for the props. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't something that even interested me. It was just kind of like what you said, Esso. You know, the Lord has given me a gift, and it's just the natural outworking. You know, it's the fruit of the root of what He's already implanted within me. And so I have the opportunity, and it just so happens that He's been gracious enough to bless it and give me a platform. But so the obstacles don't, I mean, we expect the obstacles,
right.
you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
But then on the other hand, you know, I was just peeping in Luke about how when the angel Gabriel approached Mary about, you know, saying that she was going to have the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that he pointed to, he said, look, your Elizabeth is already pregnant, you know, and Elizabeth was, you know, she was
barren.
Old, she had been barren, and she was old, and the angel points to Elizabeth and says, look, the Lord has done this with her, you know what I'm saying? And so what you can see from that is that, you know, nothing's impossible with God, you know what I'm saying? And so for me, like, looking at what the Lord has done in the lives of others, you know what I'm saying, who were doing the same thing, it's like, man, like, the Lord's hand really is on this, you know what I'm saying? And it may not always look like, you know, people think it should look, you know what I'm saying, just in terms of, you know, we may never see, you know, Shy Lynn or Jafia Life on that top 10 next to Young Jeezy, you know what I'm saying? But that's not how we, you know, look. That's not necessarily success, you know what I'm saying, in the eyes of God, you know what I'm saying? He can do it, and if he does, praise the Lord for that, you know what I'm saying? But so I really think it's just really a matter of what your motivation is,
right?
You know what I'm saying, coming into it, and if you know, if you see Christ as your portion, as he is our reward, you know what I'm saying, then ultimately everything else is just gravy on top of that,
right?
You know,
so
as we, you know, we're about to get ready to close, you got the album Fountain of Life coming out. What else is going on?
Right now, man, that's basically it.
Okay.
I mean, I've been just trying to, like, you know, prepare myself, like, for, you know what I'm saying, the whole jump off, man, just, like, you know what I mean, the touring, you know what I'm saying, promoting it, things of that nature, just trying to just get myself in the right mindset to be able to withstand, you know what I'm saying, all the different things that come along with having a national release and traveling, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, just, I mean, you got groupies on this side too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you just gotta be, like, you know, prayed up, you know what I'm saying? And really be able to just really withstand, you know what I'm saying? Like, all the temptation that comes against you, man. Just trying to, continue to build with people, Just to have accountability, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that, and just really trying to just, you know, just merge minds with the label, you know what I'm saying, make sure everything is done right, that I get my vision across to them, you know what I mean, and that they embracing it, stuff like that. So,
what can people expect from this project, The Fountain of Life?
From this project, people can expect, like, just an array of different kind of songs, as opposed to Hell's Diary. You know what I mean? This album is has a lot of songs. It's just like you got I mean, party stuff. You got heartfelt stuff. You got you just got rugged stuff. I don't even want to call it street stuff. You just got, like, rugged stuff. Musical stuff, man. It's just a lot bigger than Hell's Diary and this is just from an artistic, creatively speaking. You know what I mean? Content wise, I felt like for this to be my first national release, I wanted to take people, I wanted to bring people back and, like, kind of start over with people, you know what I'm saying, and let them grow with me, you know what I'm saying, and take them through my journey as a new believer. It doesn't have a whole lot of heavy biblical content in it, because I tried to be mindful of that it's my first national release, and how my ministry is designed and who it's designed to. So it's like I wanted to kind of, like, let them grow with me, you know what I'm saying, and kind of see my growth as from album to album, you know what I'm saying. So it does have biblical content. It does have substance. It is, like I said, because everything I do is ministry. But it's basically catered to fit the person who not even paying attention to God.
Right.
You know what I mean? Trying to be mindful of them. One of the reasons I called it Fountain of Life was because it's just giving people a taste of my life. You know what I'm saying? Let them come and drink from and taste what I went through, and as they see what I went through, then, like I said, it may provoke them to wanna, you know, make the choices I made, and you know, choose Christ. You know what I mean?
Word. So
yeah,
on that note, I mean, that's a good place to end off. Everything that we do is really, at the end of the day, geared towards pointing people to Christ, Christ. Man. choose Christ, yo.
Yeah.
You know, and even on this show, everything that we saw in the news, you know, different things that we saw in the top 10, it's just like, man, we just want to point people back to the Lord right. Jesus Christ,
yeah,
man.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because He's the way, the truth, and the life. Man.
Absolutely.
So, man, yeah. Jafai, I want to thank
you,
yo.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for coming
pleasure,
through,
bro.
You know what I mean, to the Lamp Mode House of Tea,
sure,
you know
sure.
what I mean? And definitely look forward to having you back. Come back sometime.
Anytime.
You
anytime.
Know what I mean?
And you can go to beatmart.com, download that song
yeah.
That you heard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you got to basically subscribe to be a part of the website for free. It's mm-hmm. free. Then you can post on the message board and all that kind of stuff, and you can download a free get a free download of All I Know, and beatmart.com. So
yeah.
All right, good stuff. So
right,
so that's it for right now. We're going to come back with the essentials, but we definitely want to thank Brother Jafai Elijah for coming through, and keep it locked on www.holyculture.com. All right,
peace up,
peace. Welcome back to the Common Denominator on HolyCultureRadio.com. You just heard an interview with Jafai Life. What'd you think, SO?
Yeah, it was good, man. It's just good to hear, you know, even people you know, and just kind of hear them spill on different topics, and you always learn something new. So
yeah.
I really just appreciate Jafai being here and, you know, getting kind of a fresh look at things going on, and even the way he views the industry now, you know,
right.
it's good to see his view on that.
No doubt. And that's one of the banging things, man, is that, you know, we don't always have to agree on everything. There were things that Jafai said that I disagreed with, and there's things that I would say that he would disagree with. And those are things that we can, you know, talk about, discuss. You know, and
right.
we do, you
yeah.
know, even outside of it being recorded. But it's banging that we can still come together as believers, unified over the essentials.
Amen.
And work out whatever we disagree on. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And so with that said.
Yeah, where does that take us to?
That takes us to the essentials. So you like that little segue right there?
I like that.
Okay. We're going to go into our essential section of the show, and That is the doctrine of original sin.
What is sin?
Sin is defined in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 as lawlessness. And so any, I believe in, it was in the Westminster Confession that sin was defined as any lack of conformity to the law of God.
Hmm.
So God's law, which is based on his perfect moral character, and it's really laid out in the Ten Commandments. Sin is anything that goes against or breaks the law of God, and that could be in thought, it could be in word, or it could be in action.
Okay.
So that's sin. Basically what original sin teaches is that, or what the scriptures teach concerning original sin, is that man started out in a perfect condition in the Garden of Eden, made in the image of God, and God gave our original first parents, Adam and Eve, a command, and that's found in Genesis chapter 2. In essence, you can read that. And this is Genesis 2:15-17
says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'"
Amen. When you eat of it, you shall surely die. And what we learn later on in Genesis chapter 3 is that our first parents actually did disobey that command. And as God promised, they died. They didn't die physically at first, but mm-hmm. they died spiritually. And it was followed up later on by physical death. And so the reason why we have death in the world, according to scripture, is because of original sin. There were different consequences concerning original sin, both for humanity as well as for the creation as a whole. And mm-hmm. I want, Essence, if you could read from Romans chapter 8.
All right.
Verse 22.
It says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time."
Good. And so the Lord, when he cursed Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, not only did he curse humanity, but he also cursed the creation. So where before the fall, creation was something that was there and that was only a benefit or a help to people, now creation has become a frustration to us.
You know, in what ways?
I mean, when you look at the weather, you know, right now as we speak, we're in the middle of the winter,
right,
in December, and it's cold. It's freezing. And if we step outside not properly clothed for long enough, we'll literally freeze to death.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, we see things, all kinds of natural disasters, earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes. Nature is very unflinching in terms of its path of destruction for human beings. And so so we live in a cursed creation. And I want to read from Romans chapter 5, verse 12. We get some more indication, because when Adam sinned, it wasn't only sin for him, but we also learn from scripture that Adam was a representative of all of humanity.
Of mankind.
Right, in the garden. All who would follow him, Adam represented. And so this is what we see in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and this is what it says. It says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned."
Hmm.
I'm going to read that again. "Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." And so what this passage is teaching us is that sin entered the world through Adam, death coming as a result of sin. So death is not something that is part of, you know, naturally part of human life.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We tend to, because we're surrounded by death and that's really all that we know, we tend to assume that it's just the way that it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
But death is a judicial penalty given by God in his justice. But even beyond that, it says that death spread to all men because all sin. So the reality of original sin is that when Adam sinned in the garden as our representative, God treated every person who followed Adam and Eve as if we had personally committed their sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we were born with a sin nature. It's natural for us to sin. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that sin brings about the curse of God. You can hit us up with Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20.
This says, there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins.
Right. And so we have just the universal implications of original sin is that it spread to everybody. Every single human being who is born a sinner. And in Romans chapter 3, we really get a devastating portrait of a fallen humanity. In Romans 3, I'll start at verse 10. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And we see in these verses just this universal language. You know, none is righteous. No one. No one understands. You know, all have turned aside.
Right.
In verse 12. So just the universal ramifications of original sin is that we live amongst a humanity that has turned away from God. And even in looking at these verses, it's really striking to me how a lot of these things really relate to hip-hop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In hip-hop, we see really the glorification of feet being swift to shed blood.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Throats being open grave, you know, speaking, you know, people who speak death. You know, what is a lot of our hip-hop but throats of MCs that are open graves, you know, not knowing the way of peace. No fear of God, etc.
Amen.
And so this is original sin. It's comprehensive. It's devastating. And what we see in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, is that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
So how are those two contrasted? I mean, one is saying a wage. The other one is a free gift. Why do you think that distinction is made?
Yeah, that's good. Because a wage is something that you earn. You know what I'm saying? When you work, you know, you work for something, what you get as a pay is your wage or your earnings. So I work all week at my job. You know, I punch a clock. I go in for 8 hours a day. At the end of the week, I get a check because I earned it.
Right.
That's contrasted with a free gift, and which is a gift by nature is never earned. You know what I'm saying? So if someone gives me a gift, it's because they've given it to me out of their, you know, the kindness of their heart.
Mm-hmm.
They want me to have it. It's not because I earned it. And so, you know, it's like if I work all week for a check, and then my boss comes to me and says, you know what, I'm giving you this check just out of the kindness of my heart. You know, this, right. Here's a gift to you. Here's your check. It's my gift from me to you. I'm going to be like, no, give me my check,
right,
son. You know what I'm saying? And so works is always contrasted with the grace of God, which is a gift. And that gift is found in Christ Jesus. And so that's original sin. That's the condition that we're in this world. And praise God that he didn't leave us there, but he found a way to keep us from having to pay the penalty of our sins. And that's because he sent his own son to pay the penalty in our place. Amen. So that's it for this episode of
this year, man.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
Is it.
Yeah, we come back. It's going to be 2006, the 06, yes. Lord willing. Man, we just want to thank you all for tuning in, and Lord willing, we'll have a lot of good things for you coming up in the 06. All right? Grace and peace, y'all.